welcome to our GSP Ace of the Day. It was a step in the right direction. On day 9 of the 2021 U.S. Open, our picks finishing 3-2, a 0.81 units overall on the day. We earned victories from both Daniil Medvedev and Aryna Sabalenka. Medvedev covering his game spread -8.5 was a photo finish, but ultimately a cover against Botik Vendesen Schulp. Aryna Sabalenka covering her spread against Barbara Krejcikova. Unfortunately, we lost twice on the Elina Svitolina match. She loses 7-6 in the third to Leyla Fernandez. We had Svitolina at -3.5 games. We had her on a money line parlay as well. You would think someone like me who covers the next gen ATP and WTA so closely would stop losing out on these youngsters, but Leyla Fernandez and Emma Raducanu have kicked my derriere, and obviously those are two data points I will not be forgetting moving forward. Nevertheless, as we approach day 10 of the year's final Grand Slam, we are now 18-27, down 8.46 units overall. Again, not where we plan on ending up, not where we will be come the end of this tournament, but day 9, a step in the right direction. That third victory, by the way, a Daniil Medvedev future we put in on day 1. We had him winning his quarter, 3 units to win 1.81. Medvedev gets the job done over Vendesen Schulp. So again, that is why our number a little bit inflated on day 9. But with that said, we approach day 10, our second half of our quarterfinal round. 2 women's singles matches, 2 men's singles matches. Parity, the name of the game on the women's side. Lopsided money lines, the name of the game on the men's side. We'll get into all of that on today's show. Of course, a quick reminder, if you're looking for daily recaps of all the action, you want to hear what happened on each day of the U.S. Open in case you missed out with, I don't know, real world things like going back to work or going back to school, whatever it may be, you can catch up on all of the action on our website, crackedrackets.com. You can hear daily recaps on our mini break podcast feed. But of course, you come here for the daily picks. So with that in mind, let's get into it. No flinching now. Home stretch in sight. Here are my picks for day 10 of the 2021 U.S. Open. Let's start with the money lines. We'll look at the men's side first, because you're not going to make any individual money line plays on either of these matches. Alex Zverev, heavy favorite over Lloyd Harris to start the day. Zverev -700 on the money line. He's 2-0 in their career head-to-head matchups. He beat Harris in straight sets at the Western and Southern Open a few weeks ago, so you can understand why that number is a bit lopsided. You look at Tennis Abstract's U.S. Open men's draw forecast. They have Zverev as an 87.9% favorite to Lloyd Harris's 12.1% underdog. Now, of course, Harris, the big serve, and, you know, with that sort of weapon on the right sort of day, he's going to give any sort of opponent problem. He has been clearly a top 35 sort of player on hard courts this season. He made a 500-level final in the Middle East earlier this year. That said, you know, clearly Zverev peaking. He's won, what, 15 consecutive matches heading into the match. He's the prohibitive favorite. You understand that -700 money line. You're not going to touch that individually because, what, we're going to bet $7 to win one in return? No, thank you. Don't want any part of that. Ditto with the Djokovic -800. Now, again, if you want to go the underdog route, I can understand that. Lloyd Harris +475. If you think Zverev, the pressure of the moment being the favorite, that he's going to fall short here, I suppose I can understand that line of thinking given some of the results we've seen from him from pressure moments in the broader past. But you look at the more immediate history, Alex Zverev's beaten everyone he's supposed to beat at the majors over, really, I would say, the past five, past six, dating back to the restart in 2020. You look for Zverev, you go back to the 2020 U.S. Open, he made the final. He was 2 points away from winning that match in the fifth set before losing to Dominic Thiem. This year, Australia, he loses to Djokovic in the quarterfinals. He loses to Tsitsipas, in the semifinals of the French Open. The loss to Felix in the fourth round, fine, but I don't put Lloyd Harris in the same category as Felix. And you look for Zverev here, has coasted on his way to the quarterfinals of this event, beats Jannik Sinner in straight sets in the fourth round, has only dropped one set on the tournament, was the first set of his third round match to Jack Sock. By the way, the other loss for Zverev in the majors, he was, you know, he was a little sick when he lost at the French Open to Jannik Sinner last season. I'm not writing excuses for him. I'm just saying you've had to be pretty damn good to beat Zverev at the majors of late. Now, Harris is good, but I don't know if he's pretty damn good. I'm leaning Zverev in that match. But again, that's where your money line stands. That's where the tennis abstract Zverev, about an 88% favorite, according to the analytics. In terms of that Djokovic match, minus 800 against Berrettini. Look, Berrettini plus 500, you want to think it's really tough to beat someone two times in a row, let alone three times in a row in the same season, let alone three times in a row in three quarterfinal or later stage matches at Grand Slams. That's what Novak Djokovic is attempting to do tomorrow against number six seed Matteo Berrettini. And this is our match of the day here for our Cracked Rackets Patreon family. Look, Djokovic, three wins away from history. Fourth Grand Slam of the season would complete the calendar Grand Slam. First male to do it since Rod Laver. First player to do it since Steffi Graf. It would also be his 21st Grand Slam title of his career, surpassing Roger, surpassing Rafa. History's on the line. No one's going to be more aware of that fact than Novak Djokovic, who, look, has lost first sets in two out of his four matches here at the U.S. Open. And you look for Djokovic, 79-12 in his career in New York, which, by the way, of the many, many records he has, his win percentages over 80% at all four slams, that might be his single most impressive feat in his career. And you look for Djokovic, though, 79-12. 12-10, though, in his career when he's lost first sets. Now, he's escaped in two of them at this U.S. Open, but, of course, Matteo Berrettini, one of three players on the ATP Tour to hold serve over 90% of the time. It's him, Isner, Raonic. He's clearly made a leap forward in consistency here this season. He, Medvedev, Zverev, Djokovic, the only four players in the men's game to reach the fourth round at all four of the year's slams. And as I mentioned, these two have played multiple times in the immediate past, Djokovic beating Berrettini 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, 6-3 at Wimbledon in the final, beating Berrettini 6-3, 6-2, 6-7, 7-5 in what was an extraordinarily high-level match in the Roland Garros quarterfinals. Now, we haven't seen Djokovic again crank it up to the level he played in those events yet here in New York, but you started to see flashes of it in the back half of the match against Jensen Brooksby. And you look for Novak Djokovic here this season. I've mentioned these numbers to you Cracked Rackets listeners before if you listen to the Mini Break podcast, but all of the analytics suggest a guy who's still in the prime of his career, maybe the tail end, but still in it. He's, you know, above his career average in hold percentage by 1.5%. He's above his break percentage by 2.2%. First serve win percentage, 75.7%. That's 2% above his career average. 55.4% on the second serve, that is his career average. Total points won, he's winning 55.5% of the total points in the matches he plays. That's above his career average of 54.4. He's still a percent better than his career numbers. And, you know, he's winning 87.5% of his matches here this season. That's above his career average of 83.3, which is, again, ridiculous. All of that is to say, you know, go back to the French Open. Go back to after he dropped that first set to Berrettini in the Wimbledon final. Just whenever Novak Djokovic has been pressed this season, he's found his best performances. And, you know, the slam I would echo this one to is the Australian Open, where, look, he struggled against Tiafoe in round two. That was a four-set match. Five sets against Fritz, down in three of the four sets breaks of serve to Alex Zverev in the quarterfinals. And then he turned it on when it was money time, in the semis, in the finals. Now, he's going to have to turn it on a round earlier here in New York because it's a gauntlet. You face Berrettini, then probably Zverev, who beat you at the Olympics. Then if you get through that, you more likely than not have Daniil Medvedev at the end of the finish line. That's a murderer's row for Novak Djokovic. At the same time, he's responded to, you know, when Novak Djokovic's wall is pushed back, he is pushed back against the wall, that's the best sort of Novak Djokovic. That's when his best tennis so frequently seems to come out. So, again, all of that is to say minus 800. I don't really want any part of that. I'm okay. You know, I'm not going to throw that into anything on its own. So from the men's side, you probably stay away from the money lines. For the record, Djokovic, 83.1% favorite, according to the U.S. Open men's draw forecast. As I mentioned, minus 750 to Berrettini's plus 500. The women's matches, though, they are interesting, and that's where we get into our aces of the day. Now, you have a couple of options here because the money lines aren't bad. Pliskova, minus 130 tomorrow against Maria Sakkari. Maria Sakkari, you can get her plus 110. That's essentially a pick'em. And you look at Tennis Abstract's projections, Pliskova 52.5%, Maria Sakkari 47.5%. They have Pliskova as a slight favorite. The odds have Pliskova as a slight favorite. One of those instances where all the numbers agree, yeah, her recent performance of late, you give Pliskova the slight favorite, but let's not go overboard here. Of course, your other match on the day, Belinda Bencic, was minus 160 when I was doing my notes. I'm looking at it as I'm recording, already down to minus 155. Again, against one of the teen sensations and sensations, period, of this U.S. Open, 18-year-old British player Emma Raducanu. Now, here's the thing I want to bring up before I even get into my selections. If you like the favorites, Bencic and Pliskova, let me make the case for why you should go with the spreads instead of the money lines. You look forward, Bencic now minus 155. Well, if you think Bencic is going to win this match, unless you think Raducanu is going to rip through a set 6-love, that she's going to take an early 2-love lead, get a break, Bencic is going to tank a set, which just hasn't been the Belinda Bencic story of late. You look for her as recently as the Olympics, where, of course, she was the gold medalist. Belinda Bencic won 4 consecutive 3-set matches down the stretch. So even when she's lost of late, she's played, I guess, her one loss, 1-3 or 1-2, whatever it was, to Teichmann at the Western Southern Open, but that was more a reflection of Teichmann than anything else. The point being, if you think Bencic is going to win, you probably think it's a close match. You probably think it's sort of a, you know, maybe 6-3, 4-6, 6-3 sort of affair, or even 6-4, 3-6, 7-5 sort of affair. If you think it's a 3-set victory or whatever sort of victory, but you lean towards Belinda Bencic, instead of taking her at minus 160, take her at minus 1.5 games, where those odds go from minus 160 to minus 120. And you look for Bencic, if you think whether it's 3 sets, whether it's straight sets, more likely than not, a Bencic victory and any sort of victory, you are going to win the game spread. And you're probably going to win that game spread by 2. Now, if it is, you know, a 6-4, 3-6, 7-6 sort of affair, well, then you're kind of out of luck. And yes, that is one of the rare situations, circumstances where that happens, but I don't think that's the case with Belinda Bencic here. I think her sort of power tennis wears you down, particularly if you're facing a deficit. And look, Emma Raducanu has matched every expectation and every question that's been asked of her. She's answered positively here at the U.S. Open and here throughout this 2021 season. You look for Raducanu, and I know I've read this number a couple of times, but she is now 20-6 here in the 2021 season, not just the run here to the quarterfinals in the main draw where she hasn't dropped a set. She didn't drop a set in qualifying either, beating a recent titleist in former Pepperdine standout top 100 player Maya Sharif. And, you know, the week before, she makes a run to the final of the 125K in Chicago, beating a top 100 player in Claire Liu and Ali van Utvaneken, another rising young star in women's tennis, in Clara Burrell, before dropping a close 3-set match to 2-time titleist this season, Clara Tawson. And, you know, not just the Wimbledon round of 16, but at a couple of 100Ks, she'd make quarterfinals as well. You look for Raducanu here with this result. Obviously, you make a slam quarterfinal, you're probably going to crack the top 100. She's up to number 74 overall, but perhaps more pressing, she's 56th in terms of total points accumulated here this season. She's played 7 total events. That speaks to, you know, how excellent Raducanu has been across the board this year. But Belinda Bencic has been one of these stories down the home stretch of this 2021 season. You look for Bencic, she started the year 12-11 overall, and she had one good run in Australia, but you look for her outside of that run in Australia to start the season. She, and you know, third round Australian Open before a loss to Lisa Mertens, and finals of Adelaide the next week before losing to Iga Swiatek. She then loses first round Dubai, second round first round Doha, second round Dubai, second round Miami, first round Charleston, second round Stuttgart, does make a quarterfinal in Madrid, but then loses first round Rome, second round Roland Garros. Since that moment, though, since the start of the grass court season, 18-4 overall. She's won 82% of her matches, and perhaps most impressively during that stretch of time is just the quality of opponent she has beaten. She's earned, you know, four top 20 wins. She's 4-0 against top 20 opponents over that stretch of time. And, you know, the fact that three of the four wins have been three set victories for her. And then, of course, the straight set win here at this event over Iga Świątek as well. You look for Belinda Bencic, her first serve percentage for the season. She's won 69.4% of her first serves. Since the start of the grass court season, though, she's won 73.5%. Now, of course, you can't project that number, I suppose, over the course of a full year, but over that, you know, 22-match stretch, that number would rank third amongst top 50 players right now on the WTA Tour. It would trail Osaka and Ashley Barty. That's it, amongst win percentages on first serve. And you look for her during that stretch of time, she would be top five in hold percentage as well. She would be 76.3. That would be trailing just Brady, Krejcikova, Osaka, and Barty. She has served at an elite level. And part of that, it's not just the serve, it's the plus one ball. The way she is striking so confidently off of both wings, her forehand, just the depth with which she can get on that shot, the way she's placing it so well around the court. If she gets her hands on the ball, that ball is going with depth, with place, with precision. The backhand wing as well, the way she absorbed and just bunted down on the heavy topspin ground strokes of Iga Świątek, imposed her will from the baseline. I just think it's a degree of power tennis that Emma Raducanu hasn't seen. And, you know, some of you listeners are saying, wait, is this deja vu? Am I clicking on the episode from 2 days ago? Didn't you just say that exact same thing about Shelby Rogers in relation to Emma Raducanu? Yes, I did. But guess what? Belinda Bencic has held serve at a top five rate since the start of the grass court season. Shelby Rogers, you look for her in terms of her hold percentage here amongst top 50 players. Shelby Rogers currently ranks 21st. Amongst top 50 players in hold percentage, that number 69.7%. Again, Bencic is in the 76.3% range, 5% better. And it's more consistent. I mean, Shelby Rogers, when she plays her best tennis, yes, she can look like a top-tier server, but she has to play her absolute best tennis. And, you know, Bencic has been playing her absolute best tennis, and not just for 1 week, but over the course of 6, 7, 8 weeks now. I think Bencic wins this match. I think this is where the Cinderella story for Emma Raducanu comes to a close. Again, you look for Belinda Bencic here. She's still defending points. One more win, she'll defend her semifinal points from the 2019 event. She's saved her spot in the ranking. She's currently number 12, but if she gets one more win, she'll move back into the top 10 to number 10. I think Belinda Bencic has her eyes on that, and I honestly think Belinda Bencic has her eyes on the title here. It's wide open. Krejcikova is out. We will have a first-time single slam champion at the 2021 U.S. Open. There is no reason Belinda Bencic can't be that player. There's no reason Raducanu can't at this point either, but I just like Bencic, you know, the way she's been playing. And again, I know I said this about Rogers, but with the consistent pace and consistent aggression Bencic has shown over these last 8 weeks, I just don't think Raducanu is ready, quite ready for that challenge. So give me Bencic -1.5 games, because that's the value play over the spread. We're going to go do that at -120. We're going to put 1.2 units on it to win one in return. Again, we're trying to finish here back in the positive, so we may have to up the wagers just a hair. This isn't getting obnoxious. This isn't getting too risky. This is a bet on the favorite. Give me Bencic over Raducanu. Give me Pliskova over Sakkari as well. And here's the case again. You look for Pliskova. She's -130 over Sakkari. That's great. But on the spread, you just find more value. If you take Pliskova at minus half a game, so she just has to win by one more game, even if it's 7-6, 7-6, or, you know, 6-7, 7-6, 7-6, she still covers the spread in that situation. All she essentially has to do here is not get blown out in a random throwaway second set and win the match. And if she does that, you get minus 125 odds, which are just better than the minus 130. We'll take the extra 0.005, you know, points or whatever it may be. So we do that on the spread instead of the money line. You get her minus 125, 1.25 units to win one. The case for Pliskova over Sakkari. As good as Sakkari has been, Pliskova is just a little bit better by the metrics. Of course, the one place Sakkari has her, she's one of eight players to rank in the top 20 in both hold and break percentage, but she's not elite at any one category. You look for Karolina Pliskova, another player, from the start of the season through the start of Wimbledon, she was 15-11. Since the start of Wimbledon, 19-5. You look at her first serve, and Karolina Pliskova is someone who during the prime, and she is in that tail end of the prime of her career, was someone who, you know, was averaging in the 75 to 80% hold percentage range. That's a top five number season after season, was amongst the elite of the elite. Her first serve percentage suffered at the start of the season. Her hold percentage started to dip down. She was around, you know, 72, 73%, which was 3% below her career average. You look for her since the start of Wimbledon, her first serve win percentage has jumped from 67.6% to 73.9%. So she's winning about 7% more, 6% more, excuse me, of her first serve points. Her second serve win percentage has jumped from 41.9 to 46.2. Again, across the board, she's about 4 to 5% better as a server since the start of the season. She's gotten back into that elite category. Holding serve again about 77% of the time over that time period. She's hit over 20 aces in multiple matches here this week, has, you know, dropped just one set. It was the serve fest between her and Amanda Anisimova. She looked, you know, she'd outpowered Tennis Pavlyuchenkova in the round of 16. You look for Pliskova now, 34-16 overall this season, currently third, in the rankings, up a spot with her quarterfinal here. You look for her, she's currently fourth in the race to the year-end finals. You look for her in terms of the advanced metrics. Karolina Pliskova, currently eighth in overall ELO, currently seventh in 2021 ELO. You know, that's a little bit better than Maria Sakkari at this point. You look for Sakkari in terms of 2021 specific ELO. She's fallen down to 20th. You look for her in overall ELO. She's still up to a new career high of number 15. She's also at a new career high in the rankings of 14 with her quarterfinal here in New York. She's eighth in the race to the year-end final. She has been elite, and again, one of eight players in the top 20 club. You look for Maria Sakkari here in this 2021 season. She's 30-14 overall, 20-9 on hard courts. You look at her losses on hard courts, all of them, except for one, have come to players I consider top 25 caliber, even top 20 caliber players. There was one outlier loss. It was the three-set loss to Mladenovic in the first round of the Australian Open. Outside of that, she's lost to Kontave. That's another fine. Kerber, Vika, Svitolina, Andreescu, Krejcikova, Muguruza, Sabalenka. All of those players are top 20 players. That's essentially what you have to be right now to beat Maria Sakkari. But again, what's the biggest weapon on the court? I think it's the Pliskova serve. I think her ability to find free points is the difference in this match. And thus, I just think, you know, that first serve has become elite for her. She's a top five server right now. Sakkari is a top 13 server. But in a match like this, the margin's as thin, the stage, there's a freedom with which Pliskova is playing. And again, she sees the draw has opened up as well. Give me Pliskova minus half a game over Sakkari, minus 125, 1.25 units to win one in return. That's ace of the day number two. To quickly get back to the Zverev match, you look in his two career head-to-heads against Lloyd Harris for Alex Zverev was a 6-4, 3-6, 6-love victory for him when they played in Cologne at the end of last year. That was an indoor hard court match. They also played this year, as I mentioned, at the Western Southern Open a few weeks ago. That was a 6-2 win for Zverev. What is the commonality between the two? In both of the game spreads, Zverev was plus 5. In a Grand Slam tournament, 3 out of 5 sets. He'd have to win a full other set to win the match. That means he'd only need to win one more set by one more game. So win any set, just essentially win the match, not drop another set to cover the 5.5 game spread that I have with him over Harris tomorrow. And look, for Zverev, I just think he's a little bit better at everything than Lloyd Harris, whether it's the serve, whether it's the fluidity from the baseline, the flexibility off of both wings, the comfort level at the net. Again, they're both 6'6". They've both got weapons. They both epitomize modern tennis. I just think Zverev's a little bit better at it. He's more experienced at this stage. Give me Zverev minus 5.5 games over Harris, minus 165. We're going to throw 1.65 units on it to win one. That's how confident I am that we are going to get that Zverev-Djokovic affair in the semifinals. Of course, it wouldn't be an Ace of the Day segment if I didn't throw a parlay at you. The only one I could come up with, given where the odds are, I didn't want to just go Bencic-Pliskova straight up because you do that one. It's pretty solid, plus 187, but let's have a little more fun. I mentioned I'm leaning towards all of the favorites tomorrow. Tennis Abstract leans towards all the favorites. And by the way, I don't think I read the final number for you. Pliskova Sakkari, it's 52.5, 47.5. Pliskova's favored. Bencic, an 82.2% favorite over Raducanu. But of course, the analytics a little bit behind on her. But let's go with an all-winners parlay. Bencic, Pliskova, Djokovic, Zverev on the money lines, plus 269. We're only going to throw half a unit on it. Let's not get crazy to win 1.34, but let's have some fun. We win all four of these aces tomorrow. We will have our deficit, and that means the final few days, final, what, 4 days of the event, they get fun. Now there's some pressure for us here on this segment as well. And of course, pressure is a privilege. It builds champions. We are champions here on this GSP Ace of the Day segment, or at least we hope to be so. With that in mind, a quick recap. Give me Bencic minus 1.5 games over Raducanu, minus 120, 1.2 units to win one. Give me Pliskova minus 0.5 games, so minus half a game over Sakkari. She's essentially just got to win, minus 125, 1.25 units to win one. Give me Zverev minus 5.5 games over Harris, minus 165, 1.65 units to win one. And then the all favorites parlay: Bencic, Pliskova, Djokovic, Zverev, plus 269.5 units to 1.34. Those are your picks for our GSP Aces of the Day. Again, if you're looking for daily recaps, Mini Break podcast feed is the place for you. You can find all of the content on our website, crackrackets.com. If you need the more immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we are at Crack Rackets. You want to message me directly, I am at Great Chat Pod. A shout out, as always, to our super producer, Daniel Westoff, for the of an editing job he does day in, day out. With that said, you know what we're going to say. We hope you all enjoy Wednesday's matches. May the odds be ever in your favor. And from, I should say, for our super producers, Fligner and Westoff, and from all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You know what we say. May the odds be ever in your favor. And hey, great shot. Westoff, leave all of that outro in. That's what happens, folks, when these matches end as late as they do and your brain ends up scrambled. But nevertheless, we wish you luck and we will talk to you all tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.